How's it going, everyone? This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loikamania, episode 16. I apologize for the lack of an episode last week because I had a hardware malfunction, basically, and the episode that we have recorded ended up getting destroyed in the process because it was stored in an external hard drive that I have that, I no longer have it. It has gone on to the junkyard at this point because it could not be salvaged, so I apologize for that. At any rate, the show does go on because after that, I will eventually re-record with my guest from that episode, whom I will not name just yet. It's been a couple weeks. I've been watching a lot of stuff lately. I've been really into documentaries, and I may have talked about this before, but yes, I have been really, really into documentaries for some reason or another. I don't know, it just interests me, but you know, I've been watching some stuff through Netflix and stream, especially the streaming Netflix stuff, particularly, you know, since it's available on my iPhone now, so it's been great to have. I watched this great little documentary about screenwriters called Tales from the Script, which is basically has a lot of screenwriters talking about their experiences breaking into the industry and trying to get more work and all that stuff. And it's very fascinating to me because I've been working on writing my own screenplay for some time now. And it's kind of interesting to see the perspective of guys like Frank Darabont and all these other screenwriters, you know, as they talk about it. As far as other things I've watched, I've been watching a lot of World War II stuff again, which is not unusual, especially when it comes to me, because I really, really, I really have taken a serious interest in that, because I wanted to do a World War II story for some time now, and I've been doing as much research trying to absorb as much of it as I can. Also been watching a lot of hip-hop documentaries for some reason. I don't understand why, but it fascinates me right now. It's been getting to that point where Netflix has been suggesting some weird, weird categories for me that they've been making up based on stuff that I've watched. So I'll leave it at that. There's been a lot of great comics that have come out in the last couple of weeks, and I'll talk about a few of them today. Before I go into all the comics, I want to talk about some graphic novels I've been reading, or some collected editions, rather. Been reading some of the Blackest Night tie-ins, the Rise of the Black Lanterns hardcover and Tales of the Core hardcovers, and they have been, you know, I avoided the tie-ins with the exception of Green Lantern and Green Lantern Core when the book was coming out last year, and now that they're all collected, I've been picking them up, and I must say I am pleasantly surprised by how good most of these are. Some writers who I'm not quite a big fan of right now have actually put out some decent tie-in stuff during Blackest Night. You know, it's actually nice. I mean, it's cool to have the whole set of the hardcovers together, and it's even and you know, and once you actually read everything, that it adds a lot of depth to it. You know, it adds a lot of depth to the story. I mean, if you got the budget for it, I would say pick up all the Blackest Night hardcovers. There's about seven of them in total, and they're all a lot of fun. There's a lot of really interesting character-related stuff that happens in a lot of them, so that makes it worthwhile. Of course, there's some ridiculous action in there, too, so there's a little bit of everything for everyone in there if you're a fan of the whole Blackest Night storyline, and we're on the fence about the tie-ins, so definitely pick them up. I would standouts would be Rise of the Black Lanterns and Tales of the Core, and I would say give those a shot first. Next on my next on the list is a recommendation for another graphic novel. It's called Tumor. It's written by Joshua Fialkov and illustrated by Noel Toison. This is a fantastic book. It's really well put together. It looks like, you know, the book actually resembles a novel. It has a very, I really like the paper they use for it. I really like the overall publication design and everything behind the book. It is just a gorgeous looking book, and you know it has some weight to it when you have it in your hand. The story itself is fantastic. It's a great crime graphic novel, and I don't want to spoil anything here, But yes, to say Josh Fialkov and Noel Toison, when they make comics together, they make amazing stuff. So check that out. And if you want to check more of their collaborations, check out Elk's Run, which is out on, which is also available as a graphic novel from Villard Publishing. This book Tumor is available from Archaea Studio Press. So give them a shot. They're really really worth your while. And finally, yes, last graphic novel recommendation is Cyberforce Hunter Killer from Top Cow. Let me preface this by saying that Top Cow has really impressed me with the way they are with the way they treat their fans. Because I had originally bought this. This was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive with a print run of 250. And it's a hardcover edition of this story I just mentioned. And for some reason or another, I lost it or it got stolen. I don't know what happened to it, but suffice it to say, I get home from the con, I don't have my Cyberforce Hunter Killer hardcover with me, and it's a damn shame. So I tweeted with Philip Sablik of Top Cow, who is their publisher, and I told him, I asked him if there's a way for me to buy another copy, because I know it's a con exclusive and it's a limited run, but I would like to purchase another copy to replace mine. And then he told me to email Christine Thin, who is, I think, their marketing person or... But anyway, I emailed Christine, and next thing you know, they sent me a new copy free of charge, and the only thing I had to pay for was shipping, which is to be quite honest with you, it's above and beyond Call of Duty here, because they didn't need to send me another one. I bought the book and I lost it. It's not their responsibility to replace it for me, but here they are sending me a free copy. And the fact that they went that far, and then they included a note, include a handwritten note saying thank you for supporting our company, really says a lot about the people that work for this company, like Philip and Christine. Thank you, Top Cow, and thank you, Christine, and thank you, Philippe, for sending me this replacement book. I appreciate it, and you guys really should give some of the Top Cow books a try, because they have grown so much since the mid to early 90s, where they were putting out the books that you would consider Top Cow books. These books, not only do they look good, but they read really good. I mean, there's a lot of great writers involved here, like Ron Mars and Phil Hester, and I think they've gotten a bad rap over the last few years. Anyway, I mean, I've been reading some of their books for a while now, like The Darkness, which is phenomenal right now under Phil Hester, and of course Witchblade by Ron Mars has always been solid, and they're in the middle of their own little event called Artifacts, which is phenomenal right now. So I highly recommend that too. But anyway, back to Cyberforce and Hunter Killer. I have never read any Hunter Killer comics before. I know they've been created by Mark Waid and Mark Silvestri, so that should have been enough for me to pick it up, but for some reason I haven't. I've always been a big Cyberforce fan, though. And I picked it up, I wanted it because of that, and to see Kenneth Rocafort render these characters that I always liked. And it did not disappoint. By the end of, after reading that story, I was very much interested in getting more about the Hunter Killer characters. So they definitely got a new fan out of me, at least with regards to that book. Of course, I would love for them to do more Cyberforce again, because that was always my favorite out of all the Image books that came out in the initial. The initial wave of Image titles from the founders. So that's it. That's it for that. Let's get into some of the monthly comics that have come out in the last couple of weeks. First, we have somewhat bittersweet issue for me, X-Force Sex and Violence number 3. I say that because this is the final issue of X-Force written by Craig Kyle and Chris Yost, and those two guys have. Been putting out some of the most enjoyable X-Men or X-Force comics in years. They really know their characterization. They really they really know how to raise the stakes in any of the books they work on, and it's provided me with some very entertaining reads that I've, you know, some really unforgettable reads, some great cliffhangers too, and I'm just sad that, you know, they won't be doing that anymore for a while, or who knows. Yeah, Sex and Violence, of course, stars Wolverine and Domino, and it's basically them getting involved in the Hand and the Assassin's Guild's business, with very bloody results, to say the least. You know, and we got to see illustrator Gabriel Del Olmo render some lame Marvel villains and make them look really cool, like Razor Fist or Bushwhacker. You know, yeah, that's enough incentive right there. If you're a fan of old school Marvel villains, especially some of the weak ones, you'll get to see them look really badass and actually, you know, prove themselves to be quite deadly under the hands of Kyle and Yost's writing. This book has been such a good time, so it's just nothing but pure comics fun. You know, lots of violence, lots of one-liners. It's enjoyable. It's not a heavy read at all. And by the end of it, you know, at the end of it, you feel like you just walked out of a fun action movie, like, say, The Expendables or something like that. So, yeah, check out X-Force, Sex and Violence. And again, Mr. Kyle and Mr. Yost, thank you for all those years of X-Men comics. They have been a lot of fun. And I hope you guys come back and do more one day. Next is Frankencastle, number 20. Which is the final chapter of the crossover with Dark Wolverine. And this is, of course, written by Rick Remender, illustrated by Tony Moore, and also guest illustrated by Paco Diaz and John Lucas, who have both somehow aped Tony's style, and they seamlessly, you know, their pages are seamlessly blend in with Tony's pages. So I'm really impressed. Of course, this being the final showdown between Frank and Doc, and this has been, of course, very brutal, very violent, and that's to say the least. And then there's, of course, the continuing assault of insults from both Doc and Frank about, you know, on each other. It's been a lot of fun, and it's fun. And also, again, it's a bit disappointing also that this is not the final storyline of Frank and Castle, and that you know, the next issue probably involves him being restored to, I guess, a human form or something. But this, the whole Frankencastle story, the fact that it got to last for as long as it did, it's been going on for over a year. And I mean, for almost a year, I mean, and I was shocked that it even went through over 3 months. So, you know, first of all, that was pretty ballsy of Marvel to let Rick Remender do that. And of course, Rick Remender just picked up the ball and he ran with it. And it was such a fun ride, you know, following Frankencastle, trying to figure out what the heck's going on with him, trying to figure out what to do, and of course, kicking some ass in this form. And it's also nice that the rest of the Marvel universe kind of played along, because we got to see him appear in other books like Deadpool Team Up, and of course, the Dark Wolverine crossover. So it's a shame that it's over, but I'm glad that we got to have this at least, and it's better than nothing. So this final chapter of this particular storyline with Doc, it has been fun. Every bit is violent, and of course, Frank Castle says a lot of things to Doc and that some fans will probably echo. You know, some things that they actually think of the character are being said. So that's always fun. Next up is Batman and Robin number 14. And you know, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to give away too much about the plot or anything in the story. But Fraser Irving is a beast, because that guy can draw. And I don't think anyone can draw Batman and Robin better than him right now, aside from Frank Quitely. And to be quite honest, I think Irving is stealing that book. And I hope him and Graham Morrison get to work together again eventually on something. Biggest disappointment for me right now about this particular book is the fact that I know in a few months it's going to be taken over by a different writer and artist. It's going to be I know it's going to be written by Philip Tan from you know, at a certain point. I'm sorry, not Philip Tan, but why am I thinking of him? I meant Peter Tomasi, and Tomasi, he's a good writer. I mean, I love his Green Lantern Corps. I liked The Mighty a lot also, but I don't know if he could follow up someone like Grant Morrison in a book like this. But I guess we'll have to read to find out. And I'm willing to kind of play along for now. But yeah, big mistake you can always make with when it comes to Robin and the Joker is putting them in the locked room together and giving someone the crowbar. And considering how last issue ended, well, you'll be surprised at what happens. That's really all I can give away, but I mean, come on. The Joker, Robin, and the crowbar in the locked room. That's all you need to know. And, well, once you read it, you'll see where it goes. Another book that I absolutely enjoyed this week is New Avengers number 4. It's the, it's a somewhat more street. I wouldn't say street because they have a lot of high-powered characters in there too. I guess the second-tier Avenger team takes on a very powerful mystical threat that's invading New York City, and at the same, and of course they're in over their heads. They're really way over their heads on this one because the best they can do is punch and throw stuff and blast people every now and then. But really, that's nothing against all this magic going on. And while they're dealing with all this crap, the mystics, Doctor Strange and Doctor Voodoo are trying to figure out a way to deal with it, with Damon Hellstrom yelling at them every single moment of the whole time. So it's a fun dynamic. I would actually buy a book with those three because I don't know, that sounds like it's a lot of fun, you know. There's a lot of fun and a lot of drama you can get out of those three characters by sticking them in the room together. And of course, a certain character makes an appearance in this book with a new look and possibly new powers. I don't know obviously it's not permanent. This is just for this story. But I know a couple of people who would really love to see how this one goes because they're big fans of this said character. Well, and of course, as much as the story is a lot of fun, and Brian Michael Bendis' script has always been enjoyable to read, Stuart Immonen continues to show us why he is the best illustrator in this business. I say that no hyperbole. Stuart is the best illustrator in the comics biz right now. He is an amazing storyteller, and I think he's on a level that no one can touch right now. His action scenes, his facial expressions, his body language, I don't think anyone else can do it as well as him. This book is a great showcase of that. So, if anything else, pick this up for Stuart, pick it up for the story, pick it up for Brian Bendis, but if anything else, at the very least, pick it up for Stuart's art because it's phenomenal. And this is, this guy is someone you could study for a long time, and just by looking at his pages, it makes you feel really, really inferior about your own work. At the same time, you learn so much just by looking at it because he makes it look so easy and so seamless. So, yeah, New Avengers number 4. Buy it. Another fourth issue that came out this week is the Thanos Imperative number 4, written by Andy Lanning and Dan Abnett and illustrated by Miguel Sepulveda. Sepulveda here is slowly channeling some of the best that Carlos Pacheco has ever had. I mean, I'm seeing some of the body language, some of the action scenes and the way they're choreographed, and some of the facial expressions, and just some of the line work reminds me a lot of early Carlos Pacheco. Probably my favorite, era of Carlos Pacheco, to be quite honest. And yeah, this is it's a phenomenal looking book. Of course, the story itself is great. We got the cosmic strike team of Quasar, Battery Bill, Gladiator, Ronan the Accuser, Nova, and the Silver Surfer finally making their move against the forces of Mar-Vell from the Cancerverse, and it has been a lot of fun to read. The cliffhanger from the last issue, left you thinking one thing, and then of course they remind you of how things function in this alternate, in this other universe. And so we have, as soon as we Well, we got that character back, basically. And I'm not going to ruin who that character is if you haven't been reading this book. So we, and of course someone, allegedly gets killed at the end of this, but you never know anymore because of the way this particular universe works that they're in. So I'm not going to say anything just yet until next issue. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And again, it's continuing the grand cosmic opera that Advent and Landing have been putting together for the last few years. I really hope that they will resume both Guardians and Nova after this book ends, because those are really, really good books, and it would be a shame to lose them, you know. A lot of these books that have gone on hiatus recently have never come back, and it worries me. And those two books, probably not the biggest selling books out there, but they are some of the best comics that Marvel has been putting out, especially Guardians of the Galaxy, because they have such a great cast. Read this book, support this book, and hopefully, you know, the powers that be at Marvel will see, you know what, they like the cosmic stuff, and we need to keep making them. So, Thanos Imperative, buy it. You know you want it. Next is Scarlet, number 2, by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. And, my God, I thought the first issue was really strong, and I absolutely loved it. This one is even better, because here, you are basically an accomplice to something that our main character is doing. And, obviously, we know Scarlet is in deep pain. You know, she is suffering from a very big loss in her life. And here, we are about to find out who caused it. And we're about to find out what she intends to do about it. And in this book, she basically does something selfish, and she does something that even she thinks she's regretting at the end of the book. But, you know, like I said, you feel for this character. You can't fault her for what she does. And that's the strength of this book. You really, by making you basically a part of it, by having the character talk to you, and, you know, making you somewhat as her unwilling participant, the book becomes very compelling, and you're just stuck wondering, what she's going to do next. You know, I hope she doesn't do something she regrets. And you're thinking also, I hope I can continue to like this character. And, you know, right when you think she does something, you know, when she does something somewhat despicable at the end, and in some cases you might think, you know, what she did was right because the person that she committed an act to deserved it, you're left thinking, well, you know, it's wrong though. What she did is wrong, isn't it? It's hard, you know. You're stuck in a moral quandary dealing with this book, and it's a lot of fun. It's a very powerful story, to be quite honest, and probably has some of the strongest dialogue from Brian Bendis yet. I mean, when he and Alex Maleev get together to make comics, and it's always going to be something good. It's always magic, and this is no exception. I'm really running out of really nice things to say, because this is just a phenomenal book. And of course, when you get to the end, you know. When you get to the end of the book and you get to that last panel, you realize this book is a lot bigger than just, you know, the small revenge thing that we started with, you know. And this thing is about to get even better. This thing is going to be, the scale of the book is about to be even bigger. So, yeah, check out Scarlet. They're two issues in. I believe they've sold out issue 1 a couple times already, but you can, you know, they've been reprinting them. Yeah, follow this book. It's a lot of fun. It's Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev, you know. You can't go wrong with those two when they make comics together. So buy that book. You will not regret it. And you will probably thank me for it, too. Next up is last book I'm going to be talking about today. It's Avengers, the Children's Crusade number 2. And there might be some mild spoilers in this one because I'm going to assume that you've already read the first issue. So please don't hurt me. Well, we pick up right where we left off in the first issue. Magneto appears before the Young Avengers, and suffice it to say, the best moments of the issue involve Magneto and his alleged grandchildren. And it's a very fascinating read. Of course, you know, Alan Heinberg, you gotta love the guy for paying attention to what's going on in current comics, because, you know, Magneto is a good guy. He is one of the X-Men, and he has proven himself to be a good guy over the last few years. And of course, there are still people who do not trust him, which is, of course, understandable, because he is Magneto, and you can't erase the rap sheet this guy had put together over the last 40 years of continuity. So he's Magneto, and of course people have doubts about him, but you know, he continues to surprise people. There's lots of great character moments. There's some moments with Stature and the Vision which are great. Another guest star appears who has ties with you know, Wiccan and Speed and Magneto, and by me saying all that, you can probably guess who it is. And of course, their interactions are really what sold me on this thing, because the interactions between these characters are really great, and it makes you hope really that these two guys are, you know, Wanda's kids, as they, you know, they say they might be. And I really hope that this book sheds more light on that, which I'm pretty sure they're working on right now. Yeah, I love it. It's a beautiful book. Jim Chung is probably one of the best, probably next to Immonen, one of my favorite illustrators over at Marvel right now, or in comics in general. Every page is beautiful. Everything is well rendered. You can tell by just by looking at it that he puts so much work and so much thought into all his panels. Every single line in there is there for a reason, and you can clearly tell just by looking at it. Yeah, I'm very, very happy to see this book going, and it's on time since it's a bi-monthly book. And I hope, you know, the only thing that sucks about it really is the wait between issues. So, yeah, pick this up. Has a great last page also that you should not cheat yourself of by flipping to the end, because I know people who buy comics and flip through to the end of it before they even buy it, which is ridiculous. Don't ever do that, for one thing. And this issue has one of those last pages where you're just thinking, holy crap, because it just, you know, it just basically, the scale of this story just grew just by getting to that last page. So yeah, look for that. Once again, this is Avengers Children's Crusade number 2 by Alan Heinberg and Jim Chung, so check it out. And of course, you'll thank me for it, just like you'll thank me for Scarlet number 2. And that should be it for me this week. Again, somewhat short, but you know, A lot to talk about, but I don't really want to give anything away as far as spoilers go. So, you know, I apologize also for that. If your purchase is hinging on spoilers, well, you're not going to get those spoilers from me. Just pick up the books and give it a try. They're all great, or I wouldn't be talking about them. At any rate, you can find me on all my usual spots online, over at Twitter.com/PatLoika, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/PatLoika. And you can go over to my blog website, whatever you want to call it, at PatLoika.com, and you'll find links to all of my social networking stuff, including links to places where you could purchase some of my work, or if you want to hit me up for a commission or whatever. If you have any comments, suggestions, or anything at all, questions even, send them to theloika@gmail.com. That's spelled theloika@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to answer anything or talk about anything you bring up, because I'm like that. And that should be it. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for your continued patronage, and I hope to God you continue to do so. And also, leave me an iTunes review, will you? I would appreciate some iTunes reviews. Get more people to check out the show. We're getting ready for the march to do. We're getting ready for New York Comic Con next month, and I will have some of my friends who I go to the con with every year do a guest spot, and we'll be talking a bit about the convention, share some fun stories, and talk about what we're looking forward to. That's it for me. Again, thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.